First, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, our theme scripture. Then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18 to get some further definition of what Jesus is talking about. And then we're going to tiptoe out of here and forgive everything. Just be ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 14. Matthew 6, verse 14. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for your grace and your mercy. Father, it is you that saw fit to give us another day. Father, it is you who declared that we have no other God before you. So you have given us this day that we may demonstrate to you that you are number one in our life. So Lord, we ask that you would bring down everything that's not like you. Take every thought captive that we may be synergized and energized by the Spirit that dwells therein. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we come, Lord God, seeking instruction from you. Help us right where we are. We surrender. And we look now for your infallible, prophetic, transforming word. That it will come now and shape us to be more like you. God, we thank you and praise you. And Father, as I stand here, I know that I am not worthy to hold the mantle, but it is you, Lord, who called. And I come now, God, surrendering everything over to you. Consecrate me, Father. As I seek to be your vessel, use me, Father, as you see fit. Let all eyes be on you, that you alone will be glorified and your body will be edified. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses, your sins. If you can't forgive the one that sinned against you, God says, then I won't forgive the sins that you did against me. Oh, goodness. I need you to just for a moment, just take inventory. The sin that came against you could never amount to all the sin that you did against God. Thereby, Jesus gives us in the 18th chapter a definition of what he's talking about in the 6th chapter. Let's turn to 18. Verse 21. Are we there? It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me that and I forgive him? Up to 7 times, Jesus said to him. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. And when he had begun to settle account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, being a family man, that servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Anybody ever ask God to have patience with you? Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. That servant, the one that was forgiven, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he said, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. We got to let that one sink in for a minute. He breaks down this theme that we've been meditating on, that forgiveness is absolutely mandatory according to the kingdom instruction, because we can never please God with unforgiveness in the heart. Saying this, when Jesus was prophesied, it said he would come and he would dwell in the hearts of men. And if Jesus is truly dwelling in your heart, you have the power to forgive your brothers and your sisters. Amen. The problem is there's some stuff going on in your mind. And I want to talk to you in looking at this text to get out of your mind. I just let Jesus do it. It's not up to you. Tell your neighbor, let Jesus do it. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just talk about the text as the Spirit would lead today. There has been so many walls of separation being built up, and one of the tools that keeps us from operating according to the kingdom of God. We blame it on everybody, but the truth be told, we have to own up to some responsibility. It's one thing to not have the knowledge and operate in ignorance. But once you receive knowledge, you ought to operate in wisdom. Therefore, the word of God is clear to us that forgiveness is a powerful tool. There is also a tool that you have been using according to the world's standards. And that tool has been unforgiveness, and unforgiveness will take you into a mode of paying back and being vengeful. It will take you into a mode of what's called secret hatred. You will become a secret agent of hating. You have to know and realize that this is an infection that it is one of the enemy's devices, and I call it foolishness. We have been fools for a long time harboring things, and God would not allow you to stay in foolishness. Therefore, he's given wisdom to his people. It is something to be operating in the world system for a great period of time, then only to receive Jesus and be happy that you're saved. You're happy about the saved piece, but you have not taken on the lordship. Jesus did not save you so that you can be yours. He saved you so that you could be his. Therefore, taking us and catapulting us into what's called his lordship. And if Jesus is truly Lord of your life, then you would want to do what he wants you to do more than what you want to do. There is something about that. It is called keen wisdom, because every time you do what you want to do, it ends up messing up in any way. If you look back over your history and you can see every time you wanted to please you and you went to please you your way, it caused you more hurt than it did good. Yeah, you might have had a couple of minutes of pleasure. You may have even had a few hours of pleasure, but you might have woke up the next morning with what's called a hangover. Because I'm telling you now, the stuff that you wanted to do to please you would not work for you. The only thing that's going to work for you is the things that Jesus has for you. And if you do it Jesus' way, then everything else will work out for you. And baby, when you do it his way, it's all good. It's something because when God created the world, everything that he did, he spoke over it and said, it's good. Well, here's some good news. When he did you, you know, when you couldn't stop doing all that wrong stuff and he started doing you, you became good. And if you operate in the goodness that he has called you into, then it will be all good. It's a cliche. We walk around, oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good when you're operating according to the will of God. But the moment you start operating in the will of you, then you start blaming the enemy, talking about the devil. No, it's not the devil's fault. It's your fault. Let me help you out. There was one man in the Bible who wrote almost the entire New Testament by the name of Paul. When he's exhorting in the book of Romans in chapter number 7 around the 23rd verse, he starts to say, although I will to obey the laws of God, there is a law in my mind that's got me all jacked up. I'm battling this mind thing. Paul was one that would tell the truth. And if we just tell the truth that we're in a fight, and we tell God we're in a fight and I need you to help me win this fight. God, listen, because he dwells in you, he's been waiting for you to ask for help. But we keep depending on ourselves, and you'll never make it as long as you're depending on you, because you don't belong to you. You belong to God. You belong to the Spirit of God that dwells. You belong to Jesus.
Hallelujah. He owns you. He purchased you. He's empowered you. He's given you everything that it takes to be successful in every area of your life. Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, he's given us every spiritual blessing. We have it all. But we also have this warring in our minds. But the Holy Spirit will change your mind. That's why Solomon writes in the book of Wisdom, he said, be hesitant to speak, but be quick to listen, because your mouth will get you in trouble. But every time you take the time to think, you end up thanking. Because if you think long enough, your heart, see, your heart is what pumps memories to your mind. And if Christ dwells in your heart and you take the time to, if your mind is trying to think crazy and you say, well, I'm not going to react in my craziness, I'm going to wait for God to change my mind, then it'll pump the blood up to your brain, and then the thing you thought you were wanting to do, because Christ dwells in your heart, you'll begin to do what he wants you to do more than what you want to do. Even if you don't want to do it, you'll start doing it because you are focused on the heart where he dwells. So in reading the text, I look in Matthew chapter 6, and the Lord's prayer is there. That's what we call it, but it's truly the disciples' prayer. Because he said, when you pray, pray this prayer. So I looked at everything that was written there, but he did not deal with anything except for verse number 12. Because it talks about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus says all that, and then he says, for if you forgive. Now he addresses that prayer. Saying, let me pull the heart of the prayer out. Because if you can't master this forgiveness thing, you shouldn't even say the prayer. Because it's ineffective until you get this forgiveness thing down. He says, for you won't even be forgiven. Which means that if you have not been forgiven, then you truly are not even owned by God. So if you are not owned by God, you are just saying, Lord. The Bible says many will say, Lord, and he will say from me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I know you not. But there will be some that are chosen that will call on the name of the Lord, and the ones that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now get this, the ones that are called on the name of the Lord aren't afraid to call him in a time of need. The ones who will say, Lord, will try to work it all out, but the ones that will call on the Lord, whenever all hell starts breaking loose, you'll call on the name of the Lord. When you start to seeking, you'll call on the name of the Lord, because he's your master. You need help, you'll call the master. So Jesus, he begins to talk to the disciples in chapter number 18. So he breaks down the instructions about forgiveness. In this chapter, in verse 15, we didn't read that, but it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his faults between you and him alone. If your brother sins against you, go tell him. Why are you going to tell someone else? It's a mess between you and him. That's where the relationship is between you and him or you and her. It don't matter. Now get this. There's power in relationships. That's why God brings us together. David said, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Meaning that we have more power when we can come into agreement with someone. Later on in the text, after it says, your brother, if you go to him and it's not and it's not corrected, and they say, I'm not hearing you. Then it says, then go get somebody else. That can come into agreement. What agreement? That Jesus is Lord and forgiveness is the key. Now, if you come in agreement with somebody that tell you, oh, yeah, he's just wrong for that, please. That was established before you went to him. We all wrong. We're all guilty somewhere. But forgiveness breaks every stronghold of everything that comes against us to try to hold us captive. Forgiveness will break that stronghold of guilt. And the enemy tries to make you hold on to forgiveness in your mind. Unforgiveness, he'll try to keep you there. He wants you to stay there. Because he knows how much power is there. As long as unforgiveness is there, it interrupts every relationship. And the enemy knows where two can come into agreement. God will be in the midst of it. And see, he wants to keep us in disagreement. And so, listen, now that you got this wisdom, don't you let nothing come against you and come into relationship with your brother and sister. It really don't even matter who was right or who was wrong. As long as we can come together and let Jesus be in the midst of it. Because if we can get into agreement, then God says, I'm in the midst of it. And if God comes in, every demon in hell will have to get up out of there. We've been practicing this thing. Who did it? We even trying to get in folks' business. Who did it? I'm guilty of it, I tell you. Someone told me, I got hurt. Who did it? We got to get delivered from that who did it spirit. Because it don't matter who did it. Right? It matters who's in charge of it. Who's the solution to it? Huh? If we can focus on the solution more than we focus on who did it, then listen, everything that's going wrong will start to go right. All we have to do is focus on the right thing. We start focusing on him. He'll start doing you. And before you know it, you'll be forgiving. And you say, how'd I get here? You don't know, because there's something divine working in you. Greater is he that's working in you than he that's in the world. He's working on your crazy mind right about now. He's delivering you from some stuff that you thought you would never get delivered from. He will help you forgive. Even when you don't think you have it in you, he'll have it come out of you. Shout, let him do it. So then we get to this story. He says, there was a man who had a lot of debt to be paid. Now check this out. The Bible said he had 10,000 talents that he owed. But he wouldn't forgive a man that owed him one denarii. Now check it out, just so you can get the perspective, because this is kingdom stuff. He went to the master when he owed 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents, one denar equals one day's wage. One talent equals 6,000 days' wage. This joker owed 60 million days of labor. 60 million. And the master forgave him. But I love what he begged for. He didn't beg for forgiveness. He begged for patience. Just wait on me just a little while. Can we stop being so quick, fast, and in a hurry? Living in today's age is want a microwave experience. Everybody throw away your microwave. You've been pressing that button for so long, you don't know when stuff is good. It takes time to simmer. And so you got to let stuff, oh goodness, you got to get out of that stage of wanting people to hurry up and get it right. Let God work on them just like he's working on you. It took you as long as it's taking you to get where you are. Surely you can forgive somebody else while God brings them through. Let him do it. Let him do it. He's good at it. How do I know he's good at it? Because he's working on me. And I know when he started working on me, he said, oh yeah, this joker here won't work in a microwave. I'm going to have to let all that stuff that's in them, I'm going to have to let that stuff steam on out. It's going to take some time to get this one right. This man was holding everything in to the point after he was forgiven, he had the audacity to not be willing to forgive somebody else. No, you got to get this, because we are so quick to experience our own hurt. And as soon as we start experiencing the hurt, we start pointing the finger. But that's not Christ, because he never pointed the finger. Even though everyone was guilty, he stood on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you need to understand, if anybody messes with you, that you are God's anointed. And if they would be a fool to be really mess with God's anointed, so they must not really know what they're doing. And when they start speaking to you in an ungodly way, you can turn to God and say, oh, they must not know what they're doing. When they start plotting against you in an ungodly way, you can say, oh, forgive them, but they must not know what they do. When they do you wrong, you can say, Father, forgive them. They must not know what they do. Because he says, touch not my anointed. And preachers have preached this. They think the anointed means the one that's preaching. The anointed is the ones that are chosen. Huh? You may have never preached a sermon. You may not even know the scriptures. But if God chose you, that makes you the anointed one. Touch not God's anointed and do my prophets no harm. And you are God's anointed. And if anybody comes after God's anointed, it is not your battle. It is God's battle. And I don't know nobody that wants to battle against God. So they must not know what. Oh, goodness. Oh. Paul says that he came to dwell in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He said that he would dwell in us and dwell among us, and that we would be his people and he would be our God. Now, if you know this, then you ought to be ready to forgive. because he's dwelling in you. And he's your God. And you're going to follow his ways and not your own ways. And when you surrender to God, that's saying, God, have your way with me. Now get this. Understand that you have been in control for a long time. And most of us need to be delivered from a controlling spirit. And you may not think that you are in control. I don't have that spirit. Yes, you do, because you always want it your way. Am I talking to everybody in here? Everybody in here think they're at Burger King. I want it my way. But the Bible don't say nothing about your way. It says all about his way. Commit thy way unto him, and he'll direct your paths. Thy way. Thy way. When you commit to him, your mind will have to rest. And some of you wonder why you can't sleep. Because your mind is still somewhere it shouldn't be. And if you start thinking about Jesus instead of about your trouble, you'll know that he's in control. And listen, and when you know he's in control, you can say, I know what you're getting ready to do. And then you take your hands off the wheel, you control freak. Get in the back seat and enjoy the ride, because God is the only one that can get this done. And he's the only one that can get you done. And I want everybody in here that wants to be done by the King Jesus to stand up and give him a praise and say, let it be done. Everybody, we're getting ready to go home. Listen. It would be a shame. It would be a shame to get this word and not allow the word to change you. It would be a shame. It would be a shame, because God has too much in store for the kingdom. Listen what the person has said. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, the kingdom will only come through the vessels that he's chosen. That's why we have this instruction for kingdom living. We have to allow the word of God to change our way of thinking. Because one way or another, your mind's going to shift. And sometimes when we don't shift after we got wisdom, God said, you one of those hard-head jokers like Felix. I'm going to put something on you to make you turn to me so that I can do it. And sometimes we say, God's mad at me. I'm going through it. No, he's not. He loves you. He invested in you. His kingdom has to come through. He's depending on you. He's going to get the good out of you he's placed in you. You're the anointed. You're the meek that humbled yourself. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. It's time for the godly to start taking charge over this world. This is God's place. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We need to let God have his way. Have his way. Now get this. The enemy is so deceptive that he got people who have been forgiven of their sin walking around feeling guilty. God did not give you the spirit of guilt. That's from the devil. God gave you the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. so that he can use you. It's time for God's people to hold their heads up. Whatever happened, it's in the past. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. So when you look back, that's what you should see. Goodness and mercy. It's time. This is a now moment. A now word. This word is to attach to your faith. You wanted a new measure? You got it. You ought to believe like you've never believed before. Folks should start calling you crazy. Because the world comprehends it not. And if you got the world going along with you, maybe you're not radical enough. You got to release this faith. No matter what comes against you, hold your head up and allow God to be God over your life.